Radio Prague News.
A Czech court has sentenced a Polish driver to 8.5 years in prison for his role in a fatal train crash. Amnesty International has highlighted the poor treatment of refugees in the Czech Republic in an annual report. And footballer Petr Cech has been beaten by Lionel Messi for the first time in Champions League action. The regional court in Nowy Jyczyn on Wednesday sentenced Polish driver Sławomir Sondaj to 8.5 years in prison. This for his role in a fatal train crash in the Moravian town of Studenka, which took place last year. He also received a 10-year driving ban. In the accident, 3 people died in a high-speed collision, while dozens were injured. The train smashed into the trailer of the driver's lorry after the man had ignored warning lights and had driven onto the crossing. The human rights organization Amnesty International has highlighted the poor treatment of refugees in the Czech Republic and the high number of Romani children in practical schools in its annual report on the state of human rights around the world. The document refers to anti-migration rallies held in the country last year and the Czech Republic's rejection of compulsory quotas of refugees imposed by the European Union. On the positive side, the report praised legal changes aimed at the integration of Romani children into mainstream schools and also a court decision to recognize adoption by a male couple. In other news, Liberec regional governor Martin Puta has presented President Miloš Zeman with a gift of a deactivated World War II-era Soviet-made submachine gun, the head of state's spokesman revealed on the social networks. Jiří Ovčáček, the spokesman, called the gift an original idea. The present is an apparent reference to a recent controversial joke by Mr. Zeman, who suggested the Kalashnikov as a non-democratic means of removing politicians from their post. The submachine gun he received is a PPS model. The spokeswoman for the region of Liberec, meanwhile, stressed that the item was a personal gift from the governor and not a gift from the region itself. Also, President Miloš Zeman on Wednesday weighed in on the upcoming British referendum, calling the potential result to leave the EU highly unlikely. At the same time, the president made clear he regarded the British Prime Minister's reform demands as justified. The president suggested that citizens in Great Britain would not risk the breakup of Great Britain by voting to leave, as Scotland, in his view, would opt for independence to remain within the EU. The referendum called by British Prime Minister David Cameron is to be held on June the 23rd. 1/3 of Czechs consider Czech science to be world-class, while some 47% hold the view that it is comparable to top players, at least in some fields. According to a new poll conducted by the CVVM agency, more than 70% of those queried expressed the opinion that basic scientific research in the country should be funded from the annual state budget. The poll was conducted in the month of January. Finally, we turn to sport, and the Czech goalkeeper Petr Cech has conceded goals scored by 4-time World Player of the Year Lionel Messi for the very first time. Cech had kept out shots by Barcelona's Argentinian star on 6 occasions while at his previous club, Chelsea. However, in his first encounter with Messi between the posts for Arsenal, the Czech was beaten twice by Messi, once from the penalty spot. That was in Tuesday night's 2-0 defeat for the London club in the first leg of the Champions League round of 16 tie. That's it for me for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, low-key commemorations of a massacre in Uherský Brod as the authorities learn from past mistakes. And Amnesty International has highlighted the poor treatment of refugees in the Czech Republic in its latest report. Later on, we'll have a special from a Visegrad 4 meeting in Prague to mark the 25th anniversary of the group's founding. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Wednesday marks the first anniversary of a shooting spree in a small Czech town which left 8 dead and 1 seriously injured before the gunman turned his weapon on himself. Uherský Brod is said to commemorate the massacre in a subdued fashion. Both the police and government have sought to learn some of the lessons from the shocking event. Chris Johnston reports.
That was the sound a year ago on February 24, 2015, as stun grenades preceded the final police intervention at a restaurant in the far southeastern town of Uherský Brod. They found 8 people shot dead and 1 seriously wounded, with the 63-year-old gunman having eventually turned his gun upon himself. The massacre was described as the worst on record in a country where many believe such events only happened abroad. A commemorative mass will be held today in a town of around 17,000, but the local council has shunned any major public events, saying it's up to individuals to decide how they want to mark the anniversary. The restaurant where the shooting took place is still closed. A small memorial to the events of February 24th stands a few dozen metres away. Questions about the armed gunman, the adequacy of the police response and the communication channels between the town and police quickly followed the massacre. The mayor at one stage during the police operation revealed on television that a man was hiding in the restaurant building. The police intervention squad had taken around an hour to arrive on the scene from Brno, around 100 kilometres away, and the first police on the scene had beaten a retreat after they came under fire. And it turned out that the gunman, who lived nearby, had been suffering psychological problems for a long time, but that he was also the holder of legitimate licences for the 2 guns used in the killings. The police probe after the killings largely exonerated the way the force reacted, but changes were recommended. Some have already taken effect and others are on the way. A proposed new gun law on firearms was approved by the government last December and would result in gun licences being cut to 5 years from the previous 10. Doctors will be allowed access to the lists of gun owners, allowing them to highlight where they think risks exist. And police will be allowed to confiscate arms immediately without having to go through massive paperwork and procedures. And the police themselves have introduced rapid reaction forces, consisting of at least 2 armed officers equipped with bulletproof vests and ready for immediate action. Around 120 such units spread across the country should be able to get to any incident anywhere within 10 minutes. Police say such units were already being rolled out before the Uherský Brod shootings, but they were all in place 10 months later. And the police and local councils have agreed a new framework to keep themselves better informed if such incidents happen again. But gun possession is still high, with around 700,000 licences issued in a country of just over 10 million, with the last amnesty for arms in 2014 bringing in just 600 of those which don't make it onto the official lists.
Chris Johnson with that report. Moving on now, the Czech Republic has come in for some criticism in Amnesty International's latest annual report on the human rights situation around the world. Not for the first time, the organisation highlights the fact that many Czech Roma children are being sent to schools for children with mental disabilities. The report also points to shortcomings in the country's treatment of refugees and migrants. Ian Willoughby began with that aspect when he called the spokeswoman for the Czech branch of Amnesty, Martina Parísková.
We pointed out the situation in 2015 that the Czech government still refused to resettle or relocate more refugees and still was in a part of the political agreement that protection of the borders is more important than accept people in need. We also mentioned that the anti-migrants and anti-refugee demonstrations took place here and that among the society there are some xenophobic and anti-Islamic, anti-refugees mood, and also we found out some attacks on organizations or people who tried to help refugees or migrants also in 2015, which continued, unfortunately, in 2016.
The report also mentions by name the Czech president, Miloš Zeman, and quotes some of the things that he said about refugees and about Muslims. Is that typical in a European context that you would refer to a particular politician and their statements?
I don't know if it's typical, but from our point of view, president should calm down the situation and maybe comment somehow, but our president only makes the situation in the society worse.
Is it fair to say that this report is kind of mixed when it comes to the field of education? On one hand, it says that Roma kids comprise up to a third of pupils at schools for children with mild mental disabilities, but it also praises some steps in this area.
We are happy that the Czech government or Ministry of Education has started to work, as to say. Finally, that issue we have been pointing out for years. We had at least two reports on this issue about unfair education of Roma children. These kids are still in schools for kids with mental disabilities, but we can see that the ministry, the new ministry, Valachová, and the whole government has started to do something, and also in the topic of housing, that the government decided to accept the new maybe framework for social housing. So it also helps and it's also step forward, and we are very happy for this.
Martina Parísková, spokeswoman for the Czech branch of Amnesty International, speaking there to Radio Prague's Ian Willoughby. A reminder that you're with the International Service of Czech Radio. Coming up next, a special devoted to the 25th anniversary of the Visegrád 4. The foreign ministers of the Visegrád 4, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary, met in Prague last week to mark the 25th anniversary of the group's founding. The talks at Prague's Černín Palace revolved around past achievements and future goals and carried a strong commitment for the alliance to intensify cooperation. At a joint press briefing, each of the ministers said a few words about why the alliance was important and where they see untapped potential. Polish Foreign Minister Witold Waszczykowski had this to say.
The Visegrad Group for us is a kind of a very natural political environment. We organized this life in this region in the framework of Visegrad 4 for 25 years, and this is a very successful story. The Visegrad Group is a kind of a gem in Europe, not only in our part of Europe, but supposed to be provided as a model of cooperation also in other parts of Europe and maybe around Europe. So we will try to continue what is good during our presidency, which starts in July this year. And we will try also to discuss openly with our friends how we can improve cooperation of Visegrád Group and how we can improve cooperation of Visegrád Group with other partners, with other countries and other institutions which are around and which are the partner for us. As I said, also we think that Visegrád Group is supposed to be considered by us as a kind of a hub for further cooperation in the region. We agreed that there is no need to change this in an institutional way, this Visegrád Group. We decided not to enlarge by institutional way, but there are some other possibilities to expand our cooperation beyond Visegrád Group and to concentrate on concrete initiatives, like economic initiatives, like infrastructural initiatives, ecological initiatives. We can build together roads, railroads, other infrastructure initiatives. We can concentrate on how to preserve ecology in our region, and also I think that it's time to start a stronger political and even military cooperation of our group and together with partners in the region. We have a common experience. We just have a Visegrád battle group. We can use this experience of creating the battle groups to create some other political military institutions. For instance, we can add to European efforts to build border guards. So our experience could be used also by European Union.
Polish Foreign Minister Witold Waszczykowski there. The V4 anniversary events in Prague were inevitably overshadowed by the migrant crisis in Europe. The group has consistently coordinated its foreign policies on the issue in order to bolster the position of the individual member states at EU summits. The most recent Visegrad summit in Prague raised the ire of Germany for outlining a backup plan for the migrant crisis should Greece and Turkey fail to stem the flow of refugees in the coming months. The criticism levelled against the Visegrad group did not pass without comment, and it was Hungary's foreign minister, Péter Szijjártó, who was the most outspoken of the four on the subject.
What we can say now and here for sure is that after 25 years, the Visegrad cooperation became a brand. A brand which is widely recognized, not only in Europe, rather than globally as well. It counts what we say, it counts what position we represent, and it counts what we think about the future. We understand that there have been heavy critics and bashing the Visegrad cooperation recently. I want to make very clear that these kind of critics are taken as honor from our side, and these kind of critics encourage us to have an even stronger cooperation among four of us. And actually, these critics are good news to us, because if we were not important and if we were not significant, then we wouldn't be criticized, for sure. So more and more critics like that, the more and more courage on our side. And I want to make sure here that no one, and I want to underline, no one should tell us whom to cooperate with, what to think, and what to say. We are grown-ups, so we, four of us, can decide on what issues we want to cooperate, on what issues we want to represent a common position, and what that common position to be. What we think is, we Hungarians, and I think that this is kind of shared by all four of us, that Europe and the European Union has never had to face so many and so serious challenges at the same time since the conclusion of the Second World War than currently. And under these challenging circumstances, it is very important to be honest and be straightforward. Because if you are not honest, and if you are not straightforward, and you are captured by political correctness and hypocrisy, you surely we'll never find a solution for these serious challenges. And since the Visegrad countries have always been straightforward and honest, this kind of approach is of utmost importance from European perspective when it comes to the issue of whether we can tackle the challenges we are facing or not. So I think that the Visegrad cooperation is a source of strength for Europe. And it is Europe's interest to have a strong Visegrad cooperation, because four of us, we do represent an approach which is helpful to overcome the challenges.
Hungarian Foreign Minister Péter Szijjártó there. It is not unusual for the Visegrad four states to invite representatives of non-member countries to their summits if an issue discussed concerns them. Despite fostering close contacts and cooperation with countries in their neighbourhood, the Visegrad four have no plans to expand the alliance. Slovak Foreign Minister Miroslav Lajčák.
As it was said already when Visegrad 4 or Visegrad Group was formed, the goal was to stabilize the region, to promote democratic values, to speed up our European Euro-Atlantic integration, and to support mutually advantageous cooperation. And we have succeeded in all this. V4 now is a recognized brand, a dynamic and successful regional grouping, remains the most stable and most efficient platform for cooperation in Central Europe, enjoys high international credibility. We've also discussed that the V4 needs no reconstruction. We have definitely no need for formal structures, or we don't believe that the enlargement of the V4 is on the agenda. We would rather speak about fine-tuning, about addressing the right issues, bringing V4 idea closer to our citizens. But all in all, the 25 years of the existence of the Visegrad 4 shows clearly how useful it is to put cooperation before confrontation, mutual understanding before national stereotypes, and solidarity before prejudices.
Slovak Foreign Minister Miroslav Lajčák there. The events accompanying the meeting of foreign ministers at Černín Palace included a conference by Visegrad think tanks called Think Visegrad and a thematic exhibition prepared by the International Visegrad Fund. Moreover, a panel of eight eminent personalities assessed the Visegrad Group's past performance and made recommendations for the future. At the press conference following the talks, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek revealed what some of those recommendations were.
Czech presidency decided to initiate the launch of the panel of eminent personalities as a gift to the 25th Visegrad anniversary. And we probably know that this panel was tasked to write down an independent report about the state of the Visegrad Group 25 years. And also this panel and these representatives made some recommendation, and allow me only very shortly to inform you that this recommendation consists of a few main things. The first is this recommendation to continue to cultivate political trust and dialogue based on tolerance, realistic expectations and respect of each other's country perspective. It's something like a basis for common, for further economic integration and cooperation. The second recommendation is stimulate trans-regional flows of goods, services and capital as a way of augmenting our country's competitiveness. The third recommendation is preserve the flexibility of Visegrad institutional structure. It means not to create any further bureaucratic institutions, but more concentrate to upgrade the mechanism of implementation to ensure the political agreements, which are followed up by concrete action. And then next recommendation is to step up diplomatic diplomacy and media outreach to promote the Visegrad brand and Central European culture. Further recommendation is strengthen Visegrad's external relationship in a way that allows for greater differentiation and more intensive modes of engagement with key partners. And maybe the last recommendation is to play a strong, cohesive and positive role in EU affairs with a special focus on reviving the stalled political momentum behind the Western Balkan enlargement process and the Eastern Partnership Programme, as well as contributing towards a rules-based, inclusive and sustainable security order in Europe.
Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek speaking at a meeting of the Visegrad Four Foreign Ministers here in Prague last week. And that special devoted to the Visegrad Group brings us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.